Hi, everyone. Quick note from Amanda from the Beyond. This episode is actually going to be about routines, not hobbies. Sam and I end up pivoting into talking about routines instead. We do go off on like a 40-minute rabbit hole talking about hobbies. If you'd like to hear that chaotic episode, it's on Substack. You can join us over there. But for now, just wanted to give a quick shout out and enjoy the episode. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Nuanced Needed podcast. I'm Amanda White.
And this is Sam Dalton.
And things are terrible in the world, so we're going to talk about hobbies today. That's my segue.
Things are awful. Just look outside. It's very stressful. And
actually, that's, I think, what's so like weird, right? Is unless you live in Minneapolis or you are literal, like, it's not outside. It's on our phones. It's in the world.
It's in the world.
It's very disorienting, I feel like, going outside and being like, things are fine. But then I look in this black box and things are terrible.
And things are horrible. And if you are in Minneapolis, like, please know that our hearts are with you. I'm thinking of you, honestly, every day. I mean, just want to call attention to that like what's happening is absolutely atrocious and some of the most un-American shit I never thought I would see in my life happen here. And I think that's been, I think the word for me is like, I've been spiraling a little bit, but it's been like heartbreak. Like, I feel really, really sad. I feel really sad, truly, about like what people are going through and what's happening and just how we're trapped in this upside down. I think everybody is grappling with this chronic problem and this chronic era that we're all living through. And if you're sad, it's because it's sad.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think, you know, I was listening to Heather Cox Richardson, who is obviously an American hero and just amazing. You know, I think coming at it, and you talk about this a lot, Sam, from like a historical perspective is something that can be really helpful because it can remind us that things change, things move on. America is not the center of the world. There are other things happening. We got lucky in a lot of certain ways, like especially if you are a white person, we got really lucky in terms of obviously privilege, but also just like this idea that America is so good and righteous is this fallacy a bit. And especially Heather was talking about yesterday when she was doing like a chat. She was talking about how, you know, even the founders of America had a lot of exceptionalism in them, that they thought that they were better than other people and that they were the right people to govern. While obviously democracy is extremely American, and I think you and I are both aligned and agree on that's what's inspiring about America, is moving towards a more perfect union, moving towards more equity, and moving towards a place where we actually fulfill on the promises of things. But also, it's important to remember how much exceptionalism is just baked into America, how much us thinking that we can do whatever we want and that certain people should have more power than other people is so fundamental at the same time, which is sad, but it's also relieving, sort of. I don't know if that's the appropriate word.
No, I like that you chose that word, because for me, history has been something, learning about it, understanding it, paying attention to it, has been something that has helped ground me through just my life in general, because it's just something I genuinely find fascinating and interesting, and I really love it. But in this last, I would say during Trump's first term, and then in this past year, it's been helpful for me to see, and the reminder that I am someone who is extremely privileged. And I've done a lot of work to stop feeling shameful about that or embarrassed about that. It is not my fault. It's not something I've done inherently wrong, simply for the circumstances that I happen to be born into and my genetic makeup happening to be white. I did not wake up and choose that. I think I see a lot of people right now that are seem to be struggling to come to terms with how to embrace that part of themselves without feeling so much shame, the privileges that you have and the privileges that protect you. And with that being said, what I've tried to do as a result of recognizing that is understand that I, because of that, now have even more of a sense of a responsibility of being aware and being involved and donating when I can. I'm looking for opportunities in my local community to give back. With that said, like with my platform, I've been trying really hard to call attention to how do we do something? Like we've identified that this is problematic. How do we each utilize our own specific like interests and abilities and times and privileges essentially? And how do we individually contribute to a solution? How do we contribute to making things better? Even if it's not at the macro scale or the federal level or what have you, or even if it's not at your state level, mm-hmm. how did you make someone's life on your street better?
Yeah.
Right? Like how did you help somebody in your kid's classroom? How did you just help a friend? If you have all of these values, and this is a question I asked myself, so I'll just speak to myself. How can I sit there and say I have all of these values that I want to be generous and I want to be kind and I want to be loving and I want to be forgiving and I want to be all those things? How can I espouse that and do nothing to live up to those values because I happen to be anxious or scared or overwhelmed? And I'm not, I really hope this isn't sounding like I'm talking down to anybody or I'm excusing it or I'm trying to say like I'm above any of this. It's not that. If anything, if you are also somebody that finds yourself kind of insulated in some ways, mm-hmm. right? What are the comforts that you have that would allow you to be not so insulated, right? And would allow you to take action and do things. And this is not everybody has to be a protester, right? Not everybody has to run for office, but, you know, could you sign up to be a poll worker? Is that something that matters to you? Do you care about that? Do you want to be in the thick of like managing an election? Is that something, well, not you managing it by yourself, but to be there at your local office and help people mm-hmm. vote and make sure that it's respected and it's safe and it's secure. Like there are so many other things that we could each be doing. And I think if I look back on the last 40 years, I think many of us got very, very, very complacent, mm-hmm. very complacent. And I think, you know, you talk about this all the time, Amanda, about how we've gotten to this place of living a frictionless life. And I think because of that, a lot of us are really shocked that we got to this place because I think a lot of people stop paying attention.
Yeah. And I think we were born into this belief that like America was done.
Yes.
Which again,
yes. Literally.
White people believed that, right?
Like, yeah. 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 Yeah.
I'm very clear on that. But yeah, I think that we didn't expect to be struggling for this or for this to happen. And I think that, you know, I think alongside everything you're saying, I always want to bring in like, right, none of what you're saying, Sam, is that you shouldn't feel sad or you
absolutely
shouldn't be impacted by it. Like we can have self-compassion and we need self-compassion mm-hmm. and emotions right along with whatever we're feeling. I think a lot of what we talk about is like zooming out.
Yes.
Because when you're spinning, when you're stuck, you're in a mm-hmm. very singular experience. And I think the best thing that we can do mental health-wise and otherwise is to try to pull ourselves back. Is you don't have to get rid of the spinning. You don't have to get rid of the anxiety. Just back up. And I always use the metaphor of like, think of it like a plate and like your anxiety can be there and your values can be there. And your fear can be there and you're not wanting to get out of bed can be there and your devastation, like all of this is welcome and can be there. But the values are what should be driving your car.
Yes.
And that's clinically like taking action in alignment with what you care about is literally the best thing to do to stop spiraling, to get out of your head, bring compassion there. As well, you don't have to do everything. You can't do everything. But I think so many of us are stuck in this place where we want to do everything. So we get so overwhelmed, so overloaded. We can't prioritize. We shut down and then we do nothing. And I think instead what we're trying to talk about is finding one small thing to do. And I think so many of us also tell ourselves like, well, it's not enough. It's not a big deal. It won't matter. Why bother? And it's like, I mean, we could go into a whole thing about how everything adds up and little things are worth doing. But also just from like a mental health perspective, again, feeling better, like you actually have the ability to feel a little bit better when you tap into the edges of your agency and you can figure out one small way to help.
I could not agree more. And also, I think I was I spoke with Amanda Nelson of famed Amanda's Mild Takes, who is incredible. If you're not already following her, follow her, please. I did a Substack live with her. And one of the big things that I spoke about, and I was a little nervous to bring this up, and I didn't know how it was going to be received, because there was like, on the live, I was quite surprised. There was like almost 500 people at one point. And I was like, if I say this, I could get absolutely annihilated. Like, I was like, I could bring down the podcast. Like, what's going to happen?
You never know.
You never know. But what the big thing that I wanted to drive home, and again, everything that I say is a standard that I'm holding myself to. So mm-hmm. I don't share it until I've tried to apply it in my own life. On the other side of this, and I know we're going to get to the other side of this because also Heather Cox Richardson says we're going to get to the other side of this, is that we need people who are well. We need people who are well, who are going to have perspective and values and a mission and a vision for where we go after this. And we are going to need people that are living authentically to the person that they want to be and to the community that they would like to have and to the change they would like to see happen around them. And you need a moderately regulated nervous system to do that. And to do that sometimes means that some days you are going to be able to reach out of yourself and help others and be there for other people and do things for others. And also you are going to have to take time to take care of you. And you have to find time to take care of your own life. And I know how much cognitive dissonance comes up when it feels like you're out and about taking care of your life and doing things for you and grocery shopping and doing your laundry and taking care of your appointments and going to the doctor and doing this and doing all that, paying your bills, going to work, while it feels like outside or in this other place that you see in your phone, it's all falling apart. And I know that that's jarring. And you still get to take care of your life.
You need to.
You have to. It's non-negotiable. You are not being selfish because you took time to pay your bills or because you cleaned your house or because you just went out to dinner. Like, because you decided that you needed something to look forward to and you did something fun, or that you gathered community and ended up having a really good time. You are not doing something bad or morally reprehensible because you do that. And I regret to inform you, and this is not a justification to what's happening, because so much of what's happening is completely avoidable and 1000% a choice, a very concerted choice being made by not good people. Mm-hmm. However, since humans developed frontal lobes, bad things have been happening. People have been doing bad things to other people since the dawn of time. What's different is we know about it in real time as it happens all day, every day. To disengage from that so that you can take care of yourself, so that you can keep showing up, that is required right now. And to be so fierce and forceful with that is required right now. And I think that's why I wanted to bring up the privilege conversation a little bit, because when I see people who are upset, or I speak with people who are upset, or even when I've been upset myself, it does seem for some people to center around that, this guilt of like, well, I don't understand, like, I'm okay, but I don't want to be okay. But why am I doing this when other people are doing that? Well, I don't know. But you have to radically accept the position that you're in. And if you do know people that are impacted by this, you need to pull back and step up for them. If you know of people who are being directly impacted by this, who are threatened by this, who are not safe, how can you step up and step out for these people with the comforts that you have in your life? How can you maybe do a little bit more? And I can imagine, and I know this because it's true for me, taking that little bit of action, just like you brought up, even with the fear and everything else sitting next to you in the passenger seat, you will feel like you are actually in charge and in control and doing something that matters. If you allow yourself the chance to do that, whatever it looks like for you. And I am not saying this to be dismissive. Again, neither of us are. But this is just, I would even say this for anybody dealing with a personal tragedy. Like a personal tragedy that has nothing to do with the macro nonsense that's going on. Even for somebody that I would tell people, like when I worked in the emergency room and somebody had a family member tragically die, I would tell them that. I would tell the people around them, like, you guys have got to like pick up the pieces and take care of yourselves because this person is going to need it. It doesn't matter the circumstances. The circumstances feel more out of control because there is so little that we can do in a lot of situations. Like, for example, I could not get Trump on the phone and be like, what in the fresh fuck are you doing with Greenland right now, my guy? Like, what are we doing with this? I can't do that. But I can find organizations to donate to in Minneapolis.
You can call your reps.
You can call your reps. You can let them know how upset you are about what's happening. You can sign up. You can just go give canned food that you're not going to eat to your food bank. Like literally anything that feels like it lives up to your values and makes this place feel like it is at large living up to what we espouse to be as Americans.
Is that our segue into hot?
Look, we had to get that off of our chest, okay? There's a lot happening.
But I think we're just trying to model. Yes. We can contain multitudes.
Yes, we can. We're supposed to.
We have to. You can have dark humor.
Yes.
And still cope.
So with all that said, this is actually going to be a therapy session for Amanda because
this is a really bad time for me for this, though, Sam, because my daughter has pink eye, and I do too. Well, so
right, but this was a problem a week ago. So like,
I do think this is tied into the well conversation. Yeah. Because sometimes I'm not well because I don't take care.
She doesn't. Can confirm. So hobbies.
Well, I feel like, Sam, before we talk about hobbies, or maybe we're going to pivot instead of talking about hobbies. Mm. I think a lot of what we're also circling around is routines and the importance of routine right now, given everything that's going on. And obviously, hobbies are important and really great for your mental health. But I think routines sometimes like come first. And you are like the queen of routines. You have excellent routines.
Yeah. Remember, I'm going to come for your hobby problem one day. Don't worry.
All right. Join us on Substack and Sam will diagnose me and we will do a whole. Yeah.
I don't know if it'll
be helpful, but come over to Substack and we're going to release one this week or next week about my hobby problem.
We'll deflect to me and my rigid routines.
I don't think they're rigid.
No, they're really not. Here's what I do. And I also understand I am a single person who also works from home and I'm also able to control my own schedule. So like I understand I am in a little bit of a sweet spot when it comes to these things. However, I still work. I still have a lot of things to do outside of work, things that I'm working on. So I have to be aware of my time. So with that said, every single morning, almost, other than like here and there, I wake up. I have all of my social media on my phone is blocked overnight and into the morning. I don't look at it first thing in the morning. I do look at my phone. I'll like look through like my emails and what came through.
I know sometimes I feel like it's like a cigarette. I'm like, even though my phone, yes. I'm going to like scroll Pinterest, yes. in the morning.
Yeah. I'm going to scroll Substack and just kind
of. I have to block Substack because I, even though it's much better, I still sometimes get like too finicky on the notes.
Sometimes my algorithm there is very like arts heavy. I also follow this account called The Culturist, which I'm obsessed with. And I don't know who runs the account. I really don't, but it's a massive account.
Yeah.
And they do a lot of like Tolkien and C.S. Lewis deep dives and all that. And I'm a huge Lord of the Rings nerd. They also had an entire series on how to survive the decline.
Oh.
Because that's what Lord of the Rings is. Lord of the Rings is about a civilization that is well into decline.
Mm.
And throughout the three films, you see like signs of what it used to be. Mm-hmm. A lot of it is like crumbled and decrepit and all of that, but you can see that it was like once a great place. But anyway, that's besides my very apt for what it feels
I
like.
I mean, I wish right I liked Lord of the Rings. I just really struggle with fantasy. I can, yeah.
Yeah.
Harry Potter is about all like, I can handle, which is I was born into pretty much.
You're a millennial, you had to. Yeah. But anyway, regardless. So after I have my morning phone cigarette, I get up and make my bed every morning without fail. Unless I'm going to wash it that day, then I'll just leave it until I feel mentally prepared to strip it and put it in the washer. I put on my workout clothes and I go out and I open up the house. I open up all the windows, like the blinds and stuff. I listen to the daily if the podcast title doesn't cause me too much of a nervous system jump or if I feel like I want to listen to it. If not, I have a couple other podcasts that I might put on my Bluetooth speaker. Mm-hmm. And then I will make my pre-workout.
What is the point of doing a pre-workout? I've never had a pre-workout.
It's like caffeine.
It's just like caffeine.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Because you don't drink coffee.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm laughing because it's so silly. It's so warm. And I'm like, I'm not going to drink coffee in the morning, but I'm going to have caffeine powder that's pink blended into a drink.
Leave me alone. I'm trying, okay?
I know.
I almost bought cold brew.
Do not start with cold brew. I
See, I don't know what to do.
Cold brew is like extra caffeinated.
Oh. Well, that's what I want.
And it's extra strong coffee. Oh, okay. You should start with like a latte.
Okay. All right. I'm working on it. I'm trying.
No, I'm more laughing thinking about all of the people that are like, I'm doing such a good job of following. This is so mean. I'm sorry if anyone's Mormon. But like, I'm doing such a good job of following the rules when I'm drinking an energy drink in the morning instead of drinking coffee. It's just so funny to me.
I will sometimes have Diet Cokes with my 10 a.m. clients. So like –
What is Swig if it is not that?
What is Swig? Swig is a drug. Swig is a drug. And I remember, and I sometimes miss it. The other day at the grocery store, I found Diet Dr. Pepper and I was like, Jesus.
But did you do the like milk in it? That's what I cannot get over. The people that do the milk. What?
No. No, my drinks were, I would sometimes just get a straight 32 ounce Diet Dr. Pepper.
Hell yeah.
With like extra ice. Or I would do Diet Coke, lime, and cranberry. Mm-hmm. That was really good.
Is it a syrup or is it juice?
So it's like they would actually like squeeze a lime and throw it in.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good.
And then the cranberry was like flavor. Yeah. Cranberry flavor. Also, what were the other ones that I would sometimes – they had some mean Mountain Dew drinks. Holy God. It was like Mai Tais, essentially. But I know some people struggle with like that level of sweet, so –
I think I'm so sensitive to it too, because when you're sober, like, and you used to drink, everyone's like, I can't wait to make you a mocktail. Here's some pineapple juice with grenadine in it. And it's that is a literal drink that has been served to me a bartender has proudly served to me. And I'm like, this is disgusting. So literally last night I was like losing my mind because it was 9 p.m. and Peyton was on her, you know, had been screaming nonstop in and out of bed. So I have this really disgusting fake tequila that's fake.
Ooh.
And I was just like, I want something really challenging to drink. And I've been really that is like my cigarette these days is I'm like, I can't drink. So I'm going to make something that tastes
fake tequila.
Yeah. It's like shitty. Gross, sort of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, that has never resonated with me.
Well, if you've never had...
No.
Drank tequila, Sam. Just truly to me that you've never had tequila. We've really gone off the rails here, but
I would be really, really frightened for everybody in my life who was around me if I ever drank for the first time. I've made the decision that I'm not going to. One, because my family history makes me absolutely terrified. And professionally, I've seen too much. I've seen enough.
Have you gotten any – probably not because you're not an alcoholic. But I keep getting these ads for Whims. Have you heard of Whims? It's like marijuana in a packet that you can just crack. And they're like, this is the solution to dry January. I'm like, this feels aggressive. But
see, I don't like – I think weed smells absolutely atrocious.
Yeah,
I hate it. I hate it so much. Like walking around the streets in New York, I just hate it.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, we are starting to think about Valentine's Day gifts, which I know sounds absolutely absurd because you just finished thinking of Christmas gifts. But I am going to make it very easy for you. This is not the typical chocolate or the typical flowers, which, let's be honest, the chocolate is mid, the flowers eventually die. So I have the answer for you. And these are the Cozy Earth Bamboo PJ sets and the Sutton PJ sets. Now, both of these sets, I have to be perfectly honest of, I have three pairs. I have three pairs of the Bamboo PJ set alone. These are the most comfortable pajamas I have ever worn in my life, hands down. And the crazy thing is, these pajamas are made from the same exact fabric as their sheet set. And if you've ever touched this fabric, it is so luxurious. It is so soft. It is made from the viscose from bamboo. So it's a very unique texture. I really can't even describe the softness, if I'm being totally honest. But anytime I put on these pajamas, I feel like I am sleeping in the most luxurious circumstances possible in my own home. Now, the reason why I'm telling you about this is because from today that you're listening to this is January 27th, until February 8th, all of their pajama sets are BOGO. Buy one, get one. And if you use our code, that is Nuance BOGO, you will ensure that you get the BOGO discount. So that's Nuance, N-U-A-N-C-E, BOGO, B-O-G-O, put all together, N-U-A-N-C-E, B-O-G-O, for BOGO pajamas. You will not regret this. These are incredible. Celebrate love every day with comfort that makes the little moments count. I can't wait to hear what you guys think about these.
Anyway, routines.
Yes, I have my...
You have your pre-workout.
My judgy pre-workout, okay? But people have pre-workout with their coffee.
That's why I was asking you. I was like, should I have pre-workout? Will it make me work out in the morning?
I do have the tolerance of a buffalo when it comes to caffeine, truly.
See, I've had to pull myself back because I just have too much anxiety for it these days. My nervous system is just so high from being around a child that shrieks. But I think you have a really high nervous system because you were in an ER. And when you grew up, I think you're just more of a tank with that, where I am like,
I am.
How would I describe myself? I am like Bugs Bunny, I feel like, is how I am. I'm just like,
that's good. That's good. Just not.
I just feel like I'm walking on a wire. Yeah. And my ears stick up. And Mike's like, I really think this shouldn't impact you this much. And I'm like, I know, but I don't know what to do. And I feel like I'm not going to ever build my tolerance because I'm not going to have more than one child. So,
you're like, I'm not going to live it again. So just whatever. I'm working on the coffee thing. Everybody,
you don't have to do anything.
No, because I want to. Because I want to feel normal. Because I don't feel normal. I know I'm not normal. I know I'm a broken little bird from a cult.
You truly never have to drink coffee. And it, like,
I know.
You know, it's an acquired taste.
The smell is intoxicating to me.
The smell's beautiful. It's wonderful.
The smell is the most beautiful thing
I've ever smelled in my life. I just think you could have a latte. I know. You texted me, like, before you moved, and we're like, what coffee maker should I get? And I was like, you should get an espresso. So you can make an extra diluted latte.
I actually believe your response was, you should try drinking coffee first. I think that was your first response. And I was like, very fair. Thank you.
I mean, I would do that too. You know, I am notorious for buying, like, I just bought a treadmill because I was like, oh my God, I need to buy a treadmill. This will help me walk and focus during the day. Thankfully, they had a very generous return policy because I didn't think about how big it was. And I was like, oh, it's collapsible. They're huge. Shout out to Echelon, who wonderfully gave me a full refund. I didn't even take it out of the box. I was like,
because it was so big.
Alarming. This is 200 pounds. I cannot move this anywhere. So sorry. Yes. I think I wanted a walking pad. That's probably
You need a walking
that's
pad.
More of what I was looking
you
for.
You need a walking pad.
I was like, well, if I'm gonna have a walking pad, I may as well have a treadmill, and I may as well get a one that I can run really fast on because I'm such a good runner.
She, in other words, just needs to move. That's what she's saying. She's not moving enough.
Yes. Anyway, okay. So you go to the gym.
I go to the gym, and then I go to the gym, and I do my thing.
Yeah.
And I come back and I get ready and then I see my first clients. So that's mm-hmm. like, that is my morning, which I think is why I think I would like the coffee thing because mm-hmm. of the routine of it. So that's kind of like why it's weighing on my mind. But what I have found with this routine mm-hmm. that I have is even if I'm stressed about the day, even if I know the clients that I have that day are going through some heavier seasons or dealing with some heavier things and I'm going to have to be really on and available for them. Not that I'm not normally, but it's just therapist to therapist. You know, it's different sometimes depending on what we're talking about, what's going on. If I know that we're recording that day or if I have other stuff that I, other projects that I'm working on, whatever, like, and just the world, as we just spent 30 minutes talking about at the start of this, to know that I have that reliable routine, that reliable set of behaviors that I control and I decide, it keeps me so grounded. Mm-hmm. And it is so helpful for me personally to know that I have this thing that is totally up to me and I can change it depending on what I need. And I can keep it the exact same if that's what I feel I need. It really helps me to kind of have like a more grounded sense of control during the day. And it's not about fixing anything. I still have stressful days. I still have overwhelming days. I still have more anxious feeling days. But even if I've had what some would classify as like a quote unquote bad day, mm-hmm. right? At night, I know like, okay, tomorrow I'm starting over. Mm-hmm. And I'm starting over with that same routine. And I also just, for me, like I take a lot of pride in my home. That's something that's like really important to me. And so at night, sometimes, you know, like you're too tired to kind of finish like fully cleaning up. And so in the morning while I'm having my pre-workout and kind of like, you know, not kind of I, whatever I've made for breakfast, I'll kind of eat that here and there. And then like I'll go around the house and kind of spruce stuff up, clean stuff up. And so that way I feel like I'm starting the day like in a clean space. And that's really helpful for me. I also know I have a much more manageably sized space being in an apartment. But yeah, I think I recommend to everybody, like you need to get a routine of some kind. I don't care what this is. I don't care if it's like a 5-minute thing that you do, if you just need to go outside and like scream into a pillow, like that is a routine. And I think people overcomplicate it in thinking that it has to be something monumental or now I have to get a cold plunge tub or yeah. like I have oh to do God. This and I'm going to have to run 5 miles. Like, no, stop. It is not that. It is anything that helps you feel centered and feel put together, truly. Even if that's like, even if it's nothing else that you particularly do, even if it's just like how you get ready. Right? Like the shower routine that you have. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, if it's, I always do like skincare, makeup, hair, or I do mm-hmm. hair, skincare, makeup, right? Like whatever you decide you want to do, is there something that you could have that would give you like a predictable touch point every day that you know you can rely on? And I do kind of the same thing at night. It's not as intense at night, but I shut off my apps at about 9:30, if I'm feeling responsible, maybe before. Mm-hmm. I will sometimes have a shower. I'm actually a big bath fan. Mm-hmm. I know that's a controversial take.
I don't know why it is. Baths are great.
No, Kendra hates baths.
I know. A lot she of people who have – okay, this is a controversial take. People yeah. who hate baths give – are very judgmental energy about that.
I would agree, and that is
like,
my
you're
sister.
Not too good for a bath. Shut up.
That is – if Kendra was in this house right now, I would tell her to come over and I would say that to her. And she'd be like, I know, I'm so judgy. Teehee. Like, that kid has the softest little facade and she will eviscerate people.
Okay, do you want to hear my routine?
Yes, of course I do. Yeah. What is your routine?
I get into bad habits, so I'm always trying to fix my routine. But I wake up in the morning. Mm-hmm. If I haven't soaked my sheets being so sweaty because lately I've been on and off sick so much. I feel like every oh. night I'm like just sweating. So I have to like
so
wash. I have to like, this is so embarrassing, but I have to like air out my bed.
Oh, that's happened to me.
I'm like, I can't wash the sheets every day. So I have gotten much better at making my bed, and it is really mm-hmm. nice. And the importance of making my bed is that then I want to go to sleep at night. If I don't make my bed, I'm not interested in going to sleep. I don't know why. It's just like not interesting to me. And I really want to be with my child from like 5 to 7 or 5 to 8 until she goes to bed. Normally I'll hang out with Mike for an hour and then I like go work. And then that's where things can get bad for me, where I fall into this cycle and then I push my bedtime like later and later, and then it's not good. But when I'm in a good routine and I don't work more than like an hour, then I like want to go to bed. And I'm, if my bed's been made, it's like nice to unmake it and get into it. And it feels great. I try to brick my phone every night. I feel like I can't fall asleep now if I don't brick it. It feels like frenetic.
Anxiety.
Yeah, without it. So that's important to me. But I'm here to just, you know, spread the wisdom of making your bed makes it easier to go to sleep at night. Mm. I'm also trying to not take compulsive showers as much because I know it's really bad for my hair. And if anyone was following along, I did go back to my hairdresser. But now it's too late. And it's not her fault. It's because like I overcorrected. But now I've gotten my hair highlighted like twice or balayaged like twice in a short period of time. So I really have to like be patient and wait.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah,
I'm trying, you know, the internet is really against sleeping with your hair in a bun when it's wet. So I'm trying to not do that. But I used to love taking a shower every night before I go to bed. Now I'm trying to like get to bed. If I can go up a little earlier for my hair to dry a little bit, that's been better. And then my most important part of my evening routine is I have a Kindle stand.
I need to get one.
That goes right above me while I'm laying in bed.
I need to get one.
And I have a clicker. And it's wonderful.
Yep.
It's wonderful.
Because my nighttime routine is I'll sometimes shower, take a bath. Mm-hmm. And then
– oh, you could probably do it in the bath. That would be – although it's kind of far away to have a Kindle stand.
I hold it in the – I have like a – I have a case that has like a hand thing in the back.
Okay.
So yep. Like I don't worry about like dropping it in the water. Yeah, so like I'll sometimes read in the tub. But then when I get into bed, I will play chess. Duolingo is teaching people chess.
Oh.
It has a whole chess thing. So I've been playing chess. And then I'll read. Mm-hmm. And that's how I go to sleep. Mm-hmm. I have like a very, and I think a lot of people will relate to this, my anxiety really kicks in at night.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of feels like when I lay down,
like, oh, yeah.
It gives my head permission to like come unhinged. And that's when my go-to, and I've found this is like the indication that like I need to reorder something in my life, because mm-hmm. I found that the second I start questioning everything that I said with my clients, I'm like, oh, why am I trying to like perseverate on this thing that I can control?
Mm-hmm.
Like I'll notice like my brain will start to, I'll be like, oh, like you're not a very therapist, and like you didn't do that right, and like maybe you were too casual with them, or, like they probably don't even want to like reschedule with you, or like blah 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 blah, but like kind of that's like the very easy off ramp for my brain to go to. And so I'll kind of pause and really think about it, and sometimes I'll be like, oh, it's because before you went to bed you read about how like people are getting kidnapped in the street, so that's probably bad. I really have to be cautious about like news before bed, because I used to be someone that like I would read it in bed, and I've had to really, really pull back on that because it's not good. That is a daytime activity for me, and I don't watch as many news videos mm-hmm. anymore. I will read.
Yeah, I try to read instead.
I try to read, and I just
– Threads is such a dangerous place for me.
Oh, like, I can't go to Threads.
Sometimes I get like hope core on it, and then I get like addicted to it. And then sometimes it's really bad. A lot of times it's both. And it's just, it's such a bad place for me.
I can't even remember the last time I went to Threads. That place has become so toxic now to me. I don't enjoy it. Some people might, but I don't like it. Yeah. I think even these like little routines that we're sharing here is not necessarily because they're like particularly groundbreaking or novel. But I think what I wanted to drive home, even in like the hobbies conversation we were going to have, or like talking about routines instead, this can be simple. And I know for those of us, I'm holding all of our hands, we're in a big circle. Those of us who are ambitious, high achieving, perfectionistic, anxious, strung tight individuals, it can be really hard to have something be simple. because we assume that complicated means meaningful, mm-hmm. right? Complicated means solution. And there's really not a solution to a lot of what's going on right now, other than time and collective effort. But I think if you are struggling, just as we talked about like in the beginning of this, if you are struggling to feel tied or moored to anything and things are feeling like really all over the place, I would really encourage you to like look at your day and mm-hmm. think of where you could start incorporating little things here and there that would help you feel steady. Mm. And I think something that I struggle with sometimes is people come back and it's like, well, I don't like anything, or it doesn't fix anything, mm-hmm. or, well, I'm so anxious. And it's like, notice how nothing I've ever said about this says I don't struggle with anxiety.
Yeah.
Like,
or that this is a fix or a cure.
Yes. Yeah. No, we're talking about survival skills here. Yeah. And we're talking about coping and we're talking about managing. Don't overexert yourself in trying to take care of yourself. And I think that can become a place where we can trip up as well, and we make things too complicated and too time consuming, and it starts to feel too overwhelming, and then it doesn't work, and it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy that self-care never works. And you got to be really real about where you're at and be honest with yourself about where you're at and where you have time during the day to create something of that ilk. Then you just follow through. Mm-hmm. And if it doesn't work, you can adapt and you can change it whenever the hell you need. Because this, like I said before, this is something that you can actually control. This mm-hmm. is something that you can do that is for you, that isn't about anybody else. It is about taking care of you.
I want to leave people with one thing I've been trying to do, which I just thought of now that I haven't been doing. So I'm going to make it something, my intention for the rest of the week. Whitney Goodman said the other day, right? Like, she talks a lot about being a leader as a parent, yeah. and that's what you are, right? Like, you're not responsible for everything that happens, but like it is your job as a parent to lead. And I've been trying to think about like being a leader in my own life, being a leader. You know, I think about this in terms of like routines of like you are the leader of your own life. And I think so many of us, myself included, especially in this time in my life, feel like life is just happening to us and we are just yeah. responding to what's happening to life. Which mm-hmm. is going to happen, but how can we sort of root ourselves in trying to, whether you have children, lead, being a leader in your home, whether you are a single person, you get to be a leader in your own life. And that doesn't mean things won't be difficult or bad or you won't have anxiety, but it is a different energy to come from leading versus reacting. I think everything we were talking about with routines and boundaries, those support us in being the leaders that we want to be in our life.
Let's go. Like, I love that. I do. I find that really inspiring because I think we fucking need that right now. Like, yeah. we need to allow ourselves to feel some type of hope, inspiration, motivation, purpose, because these dickheads have it, yeah. right? Why do all these people doing these horrible things with gusto and proudly, why do they get to run around with their horrific purpose and I don't get to run around with mine? Mm. It's ridiculous.
All right. We know this was a journey. We hope that you got something along the way. If you want to hear the rest of this episode, which is sort of a therapy session where Sam is talking to me about hobbies and we go off the rails and talk about like 900 other topics, including, yeah. as always, evolution, meaning of life, because that's where yep. I always lead us back. Yep. Join us on Substack, nuanceneeded.substack.com.
And as per usual, anything that you can do to get the word out about this little pod would be very much appreciated. If you could rate, review, share, subscribe. Also, just a reminder, Cozy Earth, 20% off, code Nuance, N-U-A-N-C-E, the comfiest sheets and pajamas you'll ever wear in your life.
All right, we'll see you next week.
Bye.